irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you, Rick Gilman, for that piece of music called Buffalo Grass. And I am so happy to be back with you all. This is LA Talk Radio's very own Writer's Block. I am your host, one of them, Jim Christina, and I'm looking at my two co-hosts, Ms. Bobby Jean Bell, the Principeza from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and of course, my business partner and good friend, Richard Polinelli, out there in Fruta, Colorado. Hello, guys.
Hey, hey Jim.
What be happening? Well, with Richard, I don't tell me. I already know.
Yeah.
It's a holiday season, man. Everybody should be smiling and, you know, doing the Christmas thing. Bobby Jean, I've already seen your pictures. But you got started early.
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah.
I like the holidays where you spell it, you know, H-O-L-I-D-A-Z-E.
Yeah, days, yeah. It's the drug influence there in Albuquerque.
Well, she just added a few days to the 12 days of Christmas. That's all. You know, she just got started early.
Hey, look, I got a couple of announcements to go. Our friend and ex-co-host and Western writer extraordinaire and apparently a good mystery writer as well, Mr. Bob Brill, opened his book today. They are now available for purchase on Amazon. And the title of the book, of course, is The Tattoo Murder. They are still available for pre-sale on the e-books, but the hardbacks and the paperbacks are now available for purchase. The drop is still on the 21st of December, but we allowed it to go a little early because of the Christmas vacation or Christmas time. And if you didn't get the books ordered, you weren't going to get them in time for the holidays. So we wanted to make sure that happened for Bob. He is absolutely thrilled. His book came out really well, and I'm very, very proud of this book as well. We should be, Richard. And of course, as Mr. Brill is just happier than a pig in poo-poo, it's like, I've never seen Bob jump up and down in a chair, but I saw it the other day. So we're pretty happy with that. And the fun news is world famous retired detectives Tom Lang and Bob Sousa not only have our new book in the works, but they also have a TV show on Hulu. And it's done by ABC News. And it's called Los Angeles, a city of angels, city of death. It's about the serial killers that proliferated LA in the late 70s. And there was a slew of them. And it's a six-part series. It's really interesting. And it's a little graphic at times, but it really kind of gives you an idea of what these poor cops were in for in the late 70s. They worked their butts off. And these guys, Bob and Tom, not only are they working on a new book and working on getting on season two, but we also have them booked for the Writer's Block March 24th of next year. And it looks like if we can swing it, we may be doing a double show. You can't talk to these guys for 50 minutes. You just can't do it. The last time Tom was on, it was a two-hour show. And when Bob was on, it was a one-hour show. And we figured the bookie says, let's book him for 2 hours. Okay, that works for me. Okay, guys, got anything that before we get started with our guest, who is in, of course, Honolulu High?
Don't have anything.
I know our guest tonight. He's both a print journalist and a freelance writer for 22 years. He retired from both fields in 2017, and he still remains a professional writer broadly overall. And he's also a ghostwriter for hire in his retirement. And I think he probably still calls that freelance. I don't know. We'll find out. He also writes a blog about media and current events and news. His prior news and journalism experience includes writing pieces for Pacific Business News, Honolulu Weekly, Asian Week. Magazine work includes Hawaii Magazine, Edible Hawaii. I didn't know the Hawaiian Islands were edible, but I suppose we're going to find out. And Edible Hawaiian Islands and Hawaii Film and Video. He's also written a few community voice pieces at Honolulu Civil Beat. Please welcome to the Writer's Block for his first jaunt across the Pacific Ocean. And it's very early in Hawaii right now, Mr. Albert Lanier. Welcome to the show, Albert.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on the Writer's Block.
It is our pleasure. We've actually never had a pure ghostwriter on. We've had a ghostwriter with Catherine Hudson. Of course, she's been on a couple times, but she also is an author in her own right and has written her own books. But your writing experience mostly stems from freelancing, ghostwriting, and working for journalism. Is that correct?
That's correct. I basically, as you noted in the introduction, I was a freelancer and I was a journalist for 22 years. So I was a print journalist for 22 years, freelancer for the same amount of time. And then I eventually became a ghostwriter.
Now, our co-host sitting in Fruitu, Colorado, Mr. Richard Polinelli, was also a journalist for how many years, Rich? 24?
24, 25, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, he's worked the newspaper circuits. So he's over there nodding his head going, oh, poor guy.
Interesting.
I suspect his newsrooms were a little bit nicer to work around if he was in Hawaii all that time than the ones I had to deal with.
It's interesting you say that. One of the reasons that I came back to Hawaii, I actually came back here in 2008. I was living in LA and then I was in Seattle. I was going to settle down because I had lived in Seattle before. But what brought me back here was actually working for a newspaper on a neighbor island or outer island, as it's known, on the island of Molokai. So I became a staff writer for the Molokai Dispatch. And that's what brought me back. So I did that. It was a temporary gig. It was set up people for about, I don't know how many weeks or months, and then you would cycle out, you know. And so that's what brought me back, because I'm originally from Honolulu, but I was living in, I was living in LA, and then I was in Seattle at the time when I got the offer, and I thought, okay, I'll come back and do that, and then I'll go back to the mainland. But it didn't quite work out that I would go back to the mainland after doing my gig at the Molokai Dispatch. But I was a staff writer there, and it was a very small newsroom. And just for the sake of for the former fellow journalist here, I actually had to do virtually everything because it was only a couple of us writers there. So we had to take photos. So I had to take photos. I had to then take the chip, put it on the reader, upload it, write captions. I also wrote, foreign and domestic news bites or items. All Sundays, we had to come in and we had to help proofread the paper. Mm-hmm. After it been, we had to go through the proofs and read it. If there were any errors, I had to call out to my colleague, oh, there was an error in this article or this piece. And so virtually, my working for the Molokai Dispatch, I did virtually about everything you could do of a basic level in journalism just from that one gig alone. And I had 13, 14 years in as a journalist.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I hear you. I've worked for papers as well. Did you ever have to do pagination?
No, I didn't have to do that.
You got off easy. I had to. We'd go. I'd go out, shoot the event, write the event, and then lay out the paper. So, yeah, okay. Those are fun when you're having to put on about 10 different hats.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that the term pagination doesn't sound good at all. Goes down.
Well, I think before we started printing from PDFs, pagination was the way they used to do things.
Probably.
Yeah, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I've still got somewhere around here. I still have my pica pole and the little wheel that we'd have to use to determine when you laid out your page on a piece of paper. And determine the columns and the column widths.
Right.
Then you had to go find your photo, and then you had to, with a red pencil, mark the area of the photo you wanted in the paper, and then you had to use the wheel to adjust the size so it would fit in the hole that you put. And then of course you'd get downstairs, and you know things would be too big, too small. They'd have it in the wrong spot. I mean, it was just. The kids today who get to come in and lay out a paper with the computer programs do not know how easy they have life right now.
Right. Yes, they don't know all about the old days of hot type.
Mm-hmm.
X-Acto knives.
Oh, see, it would have driven me back to the sandbox. It truly would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to ask you, Albert, you know, we got a little bit of information from Catherine Hudson. She didn't really want to talk about her ghostwriting a whole lot. But we're very interested in finding out, number one, how do authors find you to ghostwrite for them? And number two, how is it to write someone else's story and not even get a credit on the story? I mean, are you constantly aware that you may be crossing a boundary you're not supposed to be crossing or something of that ilk?
Well, here's what you got to understand when it comes to ghostwriting is that, at least for me, I was used to writing with a byline because I'd been a freelancer for years.
Sure.
Been a journalist. Like, I started as both a freelancer and as a journalist and as a writer overall in 1994.
Uh-huh.
So I had been writing, and I started as a ghostwriter in 2014. So by that time, I had more than what? Jeez Louise. I had over 15 years of experience writing under my own byline, mm-hmm. writing stories with my name attached to it. So by the time I became a ghostwriter, I actually found it refreshing not to write under my byline.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if people will understand this. I don't even know if ghostwriters will understand it. Maybe some of them will, but I actually have found ghostwriting to be very refreshing.
Ah.
Very enjoyable because there's no onus on me.
Right.
You write under a byline. When you write under your name, that's your responsibility.
Sure.
You will be judged under that. But sure. When you're writing for someone else, which is technically partly what ghostwriting is about to an extent, well, somebody would say it's mostly about that, but you don't have that stress.
Okay.
You don't have the pressure to perform for yourself. You have, at best, the pressure to perform in a way that pleases the client.
Okay.
And for the person that you're working with, or the person or the party that you're dealing with, the entity.
Okay. Hang tough right there. Don't go away, Albert. We're going to have to throw in a real quick commercial, but we'll be back to you in about 47 seconds. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is the Writer's Block, and we'll be right back after a brief word from LA Talk Radio. You guys get your questions ready. You ever listen to a radio talk show and think to yourself, I could do that, or I could do that better? Well, now's your opportunity. See, LA Talk Radio has slots available Monday through Sunday, and they're all day. We're looking for hosts to fill those slots. So if you have an idea that you think translate to a radio talk show, go to latalkradio.com, find the link that says Become a Host, click on that link, and before you know it, you will be the host of your very own talk show right here on LA Talk Radio. And you'll be joining the hundreds of hosts that have got their start in radio right here at LA Talk Radio. So you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Remember, that's latalkradio.com, how to become a host. Sam Hassan will be happy to walk you through it, and you're going to be proud of what you can do as a host of your very own radio show, LA Talk Radio. And we are back with our guest, Mr. Albert Lanier. And if you want to call and talk to Albert, I mean, ghostwriting is, to me, is fascinating. The number here in the studio is 323-203-0815. Again, that number, 323-203-0815. You can call and you actually can talk to Albert live right here on Memorex. You can talk to Bobby. You can talk to Richard. And God forbid, you can even talk to me if you want. Okay. We are back with and Bobby, you had a question, and you guys are formating. I'm sure you're formulating in your brains what you're going to be asking next.
Hi, Albert. This is Bobby. I have a couple of questions about ghostwriting. The first one is, what are some great questions that a ghostwriter should be asking of the person or company that will become his client? And if you're thinking of hiring a ghostwriter, what are some questions you would want to ask that potential ghostwriter?
Okay, let me try the first. It's what should, I guess, a ghostwriter ask of a potential client or a company or entity?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I think as a ghostwriter, I think you have to start asking questions that are rather basic, which is, if you aren't given an email or you don't have any information about it, you start off with the basic information. What's the project about? What's the extent of it? What deadlines are there to, if it's a book or perhaps a piece or some other kind of item? What deadlines are there? I think also you also would ask other questions that are not necessarily just the typical ones, which is, I think you should ask, you know, what are you looking to get out of this project? Like, what's the intent? What are you looking to achieve with it? What do you hope to gain, not just in terms of maybe financially, but in terms of thematically, in terms of how an audience will react to it. And of course, that depends on what you're ghostwriting, right? I think rather basic questions. And of course, the most important question that you would ask is, how much am I going to get paid? How much are you offering? I think that's important. Your second one deals with, if I'm trying to remember, it deals with what a client should or an entity should ask of the ghostwriter.
Yes.
Perfect. And I think, frankly, here's what I would say. My view when it comes to ghostwriters is that, first of all, ghostwriters should be writers. Now, earlier on, what did I say? I noted that I had been a freelancer and I had been a journalist for about 15 years at least before I became a ghostwriter. So obviously, if you're going to hire a ghostwriter, it should be a writer. It should be somebody with a proven track record somewhere. And when I say proven track record, people that have written under their own names. Because if you're looking for a proven track record, maybe not under their name, that's going to be a little more difficult, right? But you should go with someone who is a writer, who has published, whether it's books, and in books meaning fiction, nonfiction, other types of books, articles, whether it's newspaper or magazine pieces, other kinds of materials, other kinds of items that you want ghostwritten. They should have a clear track record that you can look at, you can assess, and you can sum up and go, okay, this is a writer, this is somebody who is a clear professional. The one thing I say about ghostwriters is ghostwriters are the ultimate professional writers because they are being hired by people to essentially write items, materials, pieces, books for them. So therefore, they have to be writers and they have to be professionals in a way even most other professional writers aren't. And this is not to say that other professional writers can't measure up to ghostwriters. Of course they can. Novelists, short story writers, poets, playwrights, screenwriters, all very good, all professional writers. But ghostwriters are in a unique position in that they are being depended upon to produce results in a way that all those other writers aren't, because those writers are writing from their voice and for their reasons. A ghostwriter is writing in someone else's voice and for the reasons of someone else. Mm-hmm. So the ghostwriter should be for the client or entity, someone who is a writer, who has a track record, who has written under their name, and who is ultimately a professional writer in the truest sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very helpful. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, I kind of got, Skype decided to throw me off for a second, so if I'm repeating something it was talked about while I was coming back, I'm going to apologize in advance. But when you see people come to you looking for a ghostwriter, what are they looking, I mean, why aren't they writing the book, I guess is my question. Why are they looking for a ghostwriter?
Well, normally, when you talk about books, for example, the reason is that most books that are ghostwritten are usually written for certain kinds of individuals, right? Celebrities, yeah. Movie stars and actors and actresses, musicians, other politicians, other kinds of public figures. So those individuals are not writers, but they are famous. They are well known. They have a profile. And more importantly, to publishing companies, they have an audience. This is why an individual like me, who has been a writer for, professional writer for 27 years, I was a journalist for 22 and a freelancer for 22, but someone who's been a professional writer like me for 27 years is not ideal to a publishing company for a book deal. Who is ideal is somebody like Alec Baldwin, or Britney Spears, or, you know, Kamala Harris. Famous, well-known people that people will gladly line up at bookstores or click on Amazon or whatever other book service online to buy books from. So it's people who usually aren't writers that would need ghostwriters, because if they could write the books themselves, why would they need ghostwriters?
Sure.
And ghostwriters don't just write books. They write articles. They write other kinds of pieces. They write all kinds of items and materials. So it's usually written for example, politicians who have newspaper columns or who have other kinds of written materials, those are usually ghostwritten.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I believe that Richard Nixon was ghostwritten by Pat Buchanan, at least during the 1968 campaign. Now, Nixon wrote his own memoirs, but he was ghostwritten, and Pat Buchanan had ghostwritten some materials for Nixon during that campaign, if I'm not mistaken. Go ahead.
It makes you wonder what the percentage is when you go into a Barnes & Noble and you see these books by celebrities and athletes, what the percentage is of those books were ghostwritten or that person actually sat down and did anything with the book other than read it at the end and approve it.
Well, probably normally when you have a celebrity, they're going to work with a writer in some way, depending on their schedule. And they're different, from what I understand, in terms of writing books, ghostwriting books. There are different methods, right? You can work closely with a celebrity or a client and, you know, almost side to side. Probably less so now because of the pandemic, but you could work side by side and very closely with them, or you could work at a distance and maybe show them paragraphs. Show them chapters, paragraphs and chapters, show them chapters, show them pages, show them aspects of the book. So it depends on how they decide to go about it, what the approach is, right? You know, it also depends on schedule. You know, celebrities and public figures are very busy people. So they may not have time to sit down with a writer and plot out and plan out what a book's going to be.
Okay. Bobby?
Well, I think you may have answered it. It occurred to me that in order to have a really engaging and intimate sort of read when it comes to a celebrity is that you really want an inside story that you as the writer would have to have the kind of access to the to your subject, you know, to really to not just be retelling the stories that we've read in you know, magazine articles or whatever, that you really need to have some more intimate access. And then I'm sure, do you sign disclosure? Do you sign some agreements about, you know, what you'll share and what you won't share? Because, you know.
It depends on what you're writing, right? Depends on who you're writing for and depends on what you're writing. So I'm sure for ghostwriters who handle books, there probably are NDAs, right? Non-disclosure agreements. But normally, if you're a professional ghostwriter, they're coming to you because they know that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And you said you had a ghostwriter on previously, right?
Mm.
Didn't want to... Go ahead, sorry.
She has ghostwritten before, yes.
Great. Okay. Right. And she didn't want to talk too much about it, did she?
No.
No. See, that's why this is kind of an interesting interview. This is unlike any other interview I've done on the writing shows that I've been on. You know, normally I'm interviewed on a variety of shows. I talk about different issues and subjects. But as a writer, I don't get on writing shows too much, unfortunately. But I have over the years, and this is the first time I've actually talked about ghostwriting, because I've been a ghostwriter.
So we create a path for you.
And, well, then he can't come on and talk about what he's written because then he would give it away, right?
Right. Right after the break, I'm going to ask the question. That's not the question, but a question. I'm not going to be able to answer. Don't go away, Albert. We're going to be back with you in just a moment. Right now, you are listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is the Writer's Block. And we will return right after this brief word from Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Books.
It was a dark and stormy night when she walked into my office. She had a manuscript, didn't know what to do with it. She finished, typed the end and all, but there was so much more she had to do. So I told her about my friends over at Tuscany Bay Books. They do all the editing, the formatting. They put a book cover on it, get the marketing done. They even have a publicist. Can't beat that in this town. So I sent her on her way to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Maybe that's where you should go too. As for me, I'm just going to sit here in my office and watch it rain.
And we are back in the studio with, of course, Bobby Jean Bell, Richard Paulinelli, and our guest tonight, Mr. Albert Lanier. And if you want to call and talk to Albert again, this number is 323-203-0815. And again, the number is 303-0815. And Richard, what is the name of that piece of music? Is that Midnight Train?
It's all I know it as is the Mike Hammer theme Mike song Hammer from the TV song. Show.
Yeah.
Harlem Nocturne.
And he was the theme for Mike Hammer show with
For sure.
Stacy Keach. Okay, Mr. American Greed himself now.
Yeah. There you go. I have a question, and I don't know how much of this you want to answer, even if you do. Is your ghostwriting strictly for biographical tell-alls or novels or books for celebrities, political figures, blah, blah, blah? Or do you do other genres, mystery, sci-fi, et cetera?
So you're asking me what kinds of works that I would have ghostwritten? Is that it?
That's exactly what I'm asking you.
Okay. Well,
see,
Yes, yes. There's the old standby question, right? I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
I'd have to kill you.
But the thing about ghostwriting is this. I am, you know, it's interesting with this interview because I wasn't really sure how much I would be able to talk about. Because once you get into this line of work, it's not just a matter of discretion, it's a matter of discipline.
Sure, sure.
And you really have to be careful about what you have, you know, done professionally, because it could interfere with or jeopardize what you could do professionally in the future.
Sure. Well, we won't ask you about any titles you've done, so.
Right. So I can't really comment specifically on any specific works, period, that I've ghostwritten.
Okay.
But have you done fiction and nonfiction?
I can't talk about anything I've ghostwritten.
Okay. Bobby Jean, let it rip.
Whether it is, like I said, case study, white papers, pieces, whatever. I can't disclose any of that specifically.
We'll get on to another topic, sort of a segue. So freelance ghostwriting is a sort of a form of freelance. And I was on your Facebook page where you have a lot of really interesting things that you talk about and links to podcasts and such. And I found something that you call the PRS system. And as I read your description of it, I also thought, well, this is exactly what actors have to go through, you know, knowing that a show may close and so forth. So would you share a little bit about the PRS system, what it stands for and what it is?
If I'm not mistaken, I think what it is promotion. I know the last is sales.
Yes,
Promotion, return, and sales, PRS.
Yeah.
That actually comes from another statement known as problem, reaction, solution. But I turned it, when I heard that, I said, okay, promotion, return, sales. That, of course, deals with freelancing primarily, because the point I was making was that this is part of the building blocks of freelancing. Promotion is important in that people understand that you're a writer of any sort, whether you freelancer, ghostwriter, whatever, that you're a writer of any sort, and that B, you're available for work. Like you're available for projects, you're available for that. So you have to kind of let people know, whether it's on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Bumbler, Stumbler, whatever social media.
TikTok,
whatever it's called. You have to let people know both that you're a writer and that you're available for projects, that you're available to work on projects and to work on different items and different materials. So that's promotion. And it's also, more importantly, what you tell other people. And it's interesting. When I was on Facebook, one of the things that I remember seeing were authors, not freelancers or ghostwriters, authors of, I guess, self-published books or novels, who would complain that their parents, their husband, their wife, their friends, acquaintances would tell them, you know what, you need to give this up. It's not making you any money. You know, it's not, you're not getting anywhere. Quit it. You need to get a different career. You need to get a job. You need to get some more education. They would complain about that. And what I observed is that you need to let people know that you're a writer and that this is what you do. Otherwise, they will always see you as something else. If you're a writer, but you leave the home wearing a McDonald's uniform because you work at McDonald's, people will see you as McDonald's crew member, not a writer. If you leave the home wearing a three-piece suit off to the office, people will see you as a person who works in an office, not as a writer. So promotion's important in letting people know not just what you can do and who you are, but what you are, what your real profession is, that of a writer. Return, of course, is the ability of the individual to write and to produce. So what you're doing is you're writing materials, and you're constantly writing means the return. So if you're working, that should produce hopefully more work, right? Get you out there, get you that more work. There will be a return. You're investing time writing. So the return on the investment will hopefully be more work. Finally, sales, pretty straightforward, but sales is a catch-all that deals with basically revenues and income, right? You're bringing in money, you're bringing in revenues, you're bringing in income that will serve you as a writer, that will support you, that will be beneficial to you, just like income is beneficial for everyone else. So PRS is kind of a sort of simplistic way of looking at kind of a schematic, right? You know, promotion, return, sales, right?
Yes, and one comment that you made is you need to always be looking for the next gig.
Yeah.
You know, when you're freelancer, go, yeah.
Right. You know what they say in sales, right? Always be closing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
BC would be always be creating.
It's like the Yellow Pages, never stop selling.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been retired from freelancing for over 4 years now. And I write a blog. I've written a blog for over 4 years for Medium. So I go on shows and often promote blog pieces. So I don't stop with the PRS, right? Promotion, certain amount of return. But in this case, minimal sales, because when I retired, I was on what I call an O&O, an OO basis, offer-only basis, meaning
okay,
have to contact me, give me a bid, give me an amount, and I either accept it and I can do a gig. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, we've got a bunch of writers who listen in on the show, so for any writer who's out there and they're thinking, hey, this ghostwriting thing might be where I want to go, what is your advice? This is the best way for them to get started doing this based on your experience.
Well, first of all, let me just state how I got into ghostwriting. And my story is probably not the typical one, if there is a typical one. I have no idea whether it is, because I have to be honest. As I mentioned to you before, this is the first time I've really talked about ghostwriting in any interview on any show about writing. So I haven't really talked to ghostwriters that much. I talked to maybe a couple recently on Twitter, but I haven't over the years. So unfortunately, here's what I would say. I got into ghostwriting because I was asked to. I was in 2014, you know, I had come from, I'll just be brutally honest, I had financial reversals and I was trying to get back on my, and I was looking for freelance work as per usual. And I got a call from someone I knew, and this person said, could I write some materials, but not under my name? And so it was obvious that they wanted me to ghost. I had done it once before, never gave it any thought. I got to be brutally honest. Had I not been asked, I wouldn't be a ghostwriter. Oh. The reason I'm a ghostwriter now is because I was asked to be one.
So there before the grace of your friend.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's truly it. So when it comes to people who are wanting to be ghostwriters, what's the best approach? I can't draw on personal experience in that regard, but I can draw on what I think they should do. And that is, they should find some profession of writing to enter. whether it's becoming a novelist, becoming a nonfiction book writer, becoming an essayist, becoming a short story writer or a poet, I would recommend strongly, and I'm biased in this direction, becoming a freelance writer and even being a journalist. And the reason why is it, A, acquaint you with deadline writing, which will be important as a ghostwriter.
Right.
And B, helps create discipline, right? When you're a journalist, you have to have the, I think it's the five W's and the H, what, when, where, why, and how. And that really provides a structure of writing for journalists and really anybody who gets into that line of work. So what is important, what they say about screenwriters and writing screenplays is the so-called classic three-act structure, right? And being able to write classically and write traditionally. I would say for the ghostwriter, what you want is to be able to write classically and traditionally by entering one of the professions, whether it's being a novelist or being a journalist or being a freelancer. I highly recommend being a freelancer. But as I mentioned before, you need to be a writer before you can become a ghostwriter.
Sure, we get that.
If you're not a writer, personally, I can't see how you can become a ghostwriter. Can't see it.
And with that, don't go away. We're going to be right back after this real brief message. But right now, you're listening to LA Talk Radio, and we will return with our guest, Mr. Albert Lanier, Bobby Jean Bell, and of course, my very favorite co-host, Richard Polinelli. After this very brief word from Creative Edge Publicity. Okay, you've written a book. Now, how are you going to get your name out there? Well, the folks at Creative Edge Publicity will. That's their job. They are going to sell your book. They don't want to sell your book, but they will take your brand from the ground up so you are known in your genre and within the writer's community. They'll do this by using relationships with contacts they've made in TV, radio, podcasts, and publishing to get your name and your brand recognized. Why are you waiting? Contact Creative Edge Publicity today at www.creative-edge.services or email Mickey Mickelson at mickey.creativeedge@gmail.com. Creative Edge, it's your word, it's your work, and it's your brand. Why trust it to anyone else? And we are back for the final 5 minutes of the show. And we are talking with writer Albert Lanier and or Mr. Ghostwriter or freelancer. And the question we have for you, Albert, and we ask all of our writers this, and I'm not too sure it's really going to apply to you, but we'll ask it anyway. And I know Bobby Jean is busy writing down something, and of course she's going to ask another question that's going to take 15 minutes to answer. And then we're all going to be here until 12:30, and you know. Anyway, the name of the show is The Writer's Block, and as a freelance or as a ghostwriter, do you ever get writer's block? And if you have, how do you get out of it?
Well, having been a freelancer for 22 years and a journalist for 22 years, I don't think you're allowed to get writer's block by U.S. code, by dint of state law, depending on the state you're in. Of course, I'm joking there, but the reality is that I don't ever recall getting writer's block because I couldn't, especially when I was younger. I lived in Seattle in a brownstone in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. Boy, I'm really getting specific here. I had to work. So I didn't have time to sit around and wonder, how am I going to get this piece for this local newspaper done? Or how am I going to get this piece for this other weekly newspaper done? Or how am I going to get this magazine piece done? I had to work. So you sit down, and I think you rely on technique. And this is where I think not only going to college, you know, I hate, some people may not like my touting education, but here's where I think going to college helps, because I think getting an education, especially in literature, and to a certain extent in writing, helps you. It provides you with a sort of academic scholastic discipline. And then what you develop in, that's why I said your other professions, novelist, short story writer, especially journalism and freelancing, What you have is the discipline and, more importantly, the technique. Let me compare it to acting, right? Actors train in different styles, right? There are classically trained actors, and there are those who have the method, Stanislavski, right? So in a sense, the technique allows you to approach your role as an actor and to be able to then work on the role and then be able to perform the role. Just as technique for a writer allows them to work on whatever project you're on and then do that. And I think what's important is to stress technique. Technique comes from your education. I studied English when I was in college. I went to a college called the University of Hawaii, West Oahu, where I got my bachelor's degree. So I studied literature. But it also comes from the discipline of being a journalist and being a freelancer, as I mentioned before. So it's like that. You know, your profession as a ghostwriter, whatever profession you go to, should provide you with the technique and the discipline in order to carry out that project and thus hopefully not get writer's block. But that's what you need to rely on, your discipline from education and your technique from both education and your professions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much the same thing Richard says.
Well, I mean, as a journalist, you know, if you got writer's block, you got blocked out the door and they brought in somebody who didn't get writer's block to do your job. So, yeah, you could not produce. So, yeah, I'm right with Albert on that.
Okay, Bobby, 2 minutes.
Oh, I don't have anything.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, she freaked out.
I've gone through all my notes, and you've talked about everything that I thought would be interesting to talk about.
Well, Albert, you know, it's been a hoot having you. We still don't know a lot about ghostwriting.
Right.
Well, we do, but we don't.
Actually, you do
a lot more than we did.
And yet you don't. You do, and yet you don't.
Exactly.
Being a ghostwriter is a little like being an agent. Being a spy. I call it, it's like Mission Impossible.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that.
Part of the mission. It's like the Mission Impossible force in that. Your mission, you choose to accept it.
Last week's guest lived on Queen Anne Hill.
Oh, nice. Queen Anne Hill.
Yeah, it's a pretty spendy neighborhood.
I like Capitol Hill myself. I enjoy that. But ghostwriting, I don't call myself a ghostwriter. I call myself a ghostbuster. Because when you think about it, they have a service, right? They provide a service. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when you're a ghostwriter or any kind of writer, you know, you got to get on that proton pack and you have to go and lay down the traps. And you, of course, you want to make sure you don't cross the screens. No job too big, no fee too big. Who are you going to call?
Right. Ghostbusters. And with that,
Ghostwriters.
Thank you so much for joining us, Albert. It's been real pleasure having you. And I hope that when you, the next time you pick up your phone, it's us calling you, wanting you to be back on the show.
I'd love to come back.
Oh, good, because we'd probably love to have you back, except we're booked through almost June.
I know. Yeah. You are busy. That is true.
That is true. But where can people get a hold of you real quick? And then we're going to have to announce next week's guest.
Right. On Twitter at Critic Incorporated. I also have another Twitter at Al Comedian, because I used to do stand-up. So at Critic Inc. and Al Comedian. I'm on Facebook, obviously, under Albert Lanier and under Al Lanier. And I'm also at TikTok, where I'm doing a series called From the Freelancer. And that's at Imperious Reader.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And, you know, again, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's early there in Hawaii, but, you know, it's late here in the mountain time.
Not
so. Thank you again for joining us. And we hope to have you back on our show.
Thank you, guys.
You're more than welcome. Okay, guys, next week, our last live show of the season. And of course, we'll be back the first week in January. But next week is our last live show for 2021. And Mr. Russ Avison will be once again joining us. And he's back. And our guest next week is Dan Smith. And he is a podcaster of science fiction, mostly. He hosts a podcast called Coffee in Space. Or, as they say, Coffee in Space. And he'll be joining us. Of course, Mr. Russ Avison will be joining us as well. And we'll all be able to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year next week. But for right now, happy holidays from the cast here at Writer's Block, Mr. Jim Christina, of course, that is me, Miss Bobby Jean Bell, with Principeza from Albuquerque, the quirky Miss Bell, Richard Polinelli from Colorado, and of course, Sam Hassan, the owner, and our wonderful engineer on LA Talk Radio, and of course, the bookie, without whom the show would not be possible. We are out of here.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.